Today, is a Santa rally back on the agenda now? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and into Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Generally, markets tend to trend higher in December in the so-called Santa rally as traders position to maximize end-of-year returns. So, after last week's schmozzle, is Santa set to deliver this year? Well, certainly US stocks climbed on Friday in thin trading volume during a shortened session after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and of course the upcoming Cyber Monday, crucial days of sales for big box retailers, driven by gains in retail and a recovery in tech stocks. Until the middle of November, the Fed's wait-and-see approach and tight stance, plus disrupted data flow due to the government shutdown, had led to macro uncertainty. Expectations for a Federal Reserve rate cut in December strengthened throughout the week, helping underpin sentiment across equity markets. Meanwhile, speculation over a more dovish successor to Fed Chair Jerome Powell also aided sentiment after reports said that White House Economic Advisor Director Kevin Hassett was the front runner to be the next Fed Chair. Hassett is expected to largely back President Donald Trump's demands for sharply lower interest rates. The probability of a rate cut in December increased from 30% to 85% in a short period of time, providing significant relief to risky assets, along with the government's reopening and supportive critical data in the US that helped to ease market stress. As a result, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.61% to 47,716. The S&P 500 gained 0.54% to 6,849. And the Nasdaq Composite added 0.65% to 23,365 on Friday. The global MSCI index was up 3.54% across the week, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe rose 2.55% and the ASX 200 in Australia rose 2.35%. Gold futures had a good week, up 3.74%, and even Bitcoin rose 6.93%, though retraced a little at the end of the week. In the US, the three main indices posted weekly gains. The S&P 500 rose 3.73%, the Nasdaq gained 4.91%, and the Dow climbed 3.18%. These are strong moves. The S&P and the Dow swung into marginally positive territory for the month after Friday's prices settled. But the Nasdaq closed down 1.51% this month, reflecting going concerns about stretched AI and tech valuations, with investors taking profits and reducing exposure. Intel helped lead the S&P 500 with a 10.2% gain after a TF International Securities analyst said the company would begin shipping Apple's latest lowest-end M processor as early as 2027. Advanced Micro Devices, Broadcom, and Texas Instruments Incorporated were trading higher, while Nvidia continued to stumble amid concerns about rising data center competition as Meta announced its plans to purchase more efficient AI chips from Alphabet. Meta Platforms led six of the seven Magnificent Seven techs higher. Futures trading was temporarily disrupted in the morning following a CME Group outage that had temporarily frozen currencies, commodities, and equity contracts around the globe. The malfunction impacted a global trading platform where millions of contracts tracking major US indices like the S&P 500, Dow Jones Industrial Average, and NASDAQ 100 are traded daily. Market participants expressed frustration as they lost valuable trading hours during a critical period when some positions are typically rolled over from one month contract to the next. CME said it was due to a cooling issue at its Cirrus One data centers. Shares of CME Group were marginally higher. This at very least points to the risks of these failures and the connectedness to the markets could cause bigger problems down the track, though others were quick to suggest the shutdown was convenient ahead of banks borrowing from the Fed standing repos and the $24.4 billion injected by the Fed on Friday. But for now, I'm going with a cock-up theory of history. But this is a critical warning about the need to keep data centers cool. That's highly relevant to the AI bills currently in train. SanDisk Corporation experienced significant momentum in its inclusion in the S&P 500 index on November the 28th. The flash memory and storage device manufacturer replaced marketing firm Interpublic Group, which was being acquired. The announcement on Monday, November the 24th, sparked an immediate rally, with SanDisk shares surging over 13% on exceptionally high volumes of 42.9 million shares. This price action reflects the well-documented index effect, where trillions of dollars in passive index funds and ETFs must purchase shares of newly added companies to maintain accurate tracking of the benchmark. For fund managers overseeing the S&P 500 index portfolios, purchasing SanDisk stock is not discretionary, but mandatory, creating a massive and predictable wave of institutional demand. The market has quickly priced in this expected buying pressure from some of the world's largest institutional investors. Now, as data centers expand to handle AI workloads, the need for high-capacity, power-efficient, solid-state drives continues to accelerate, positioning SanDisk to capitalize on this multi-year trend. But a broader point on AI is worth noting, which is investment in artificial intelligence and hyperscaler CapEx in particular could be a large deal for inflation, interest rates, and asset prices. It might not propagate the deflationary wave that many anticipated. As Chris Joy writes in the AFR, the hyperscalers are, after all, competing for the same finite resources in the midst of what is a colossal arms race. They are battling for scarce energy, building materials, chips, memory, and people. There has been a huge increase in the cost of memory, with DRAM prices surging 172% over the past 12 months as a result of the AI server boom. And this is rippling across the wider economy. The cost of basic retail devices is also accelerating due to the jump in consumer-grade RAM prices as manufacturers such as Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron reallocate productive capacity from mainstream RAM towards AI-specific memory, which is creating supply shortages of the simpler stuff. The flow-on effects are significant. In the pre-built PC market, CyberPower PC has unveiled 10% to 20% price rises, blaming 500% rises in the RAM costs. So, in a reversal of recent trends, there is now healthy inflation in laptop, smartphone, tablet, and gaming console prices, fueled by global memory shortages and, of course, US tariffs on Chinese imports. China produces most of these goods. Which begs the question, are hyperscalers secretly continuing massive unannounced spending so that by the time rivals realize the growth is still accelerating, the hyperscaler has established an unassailable lead in data center footprint, custom silicon deployment, and GPU access, securing all the necessary components and talent? All of this sounds highly inflationary. And remember that demand for water and power will rise too. And whilst the AI merchants can afford to pay higher prices, ordinary people will actually bear the inflationary costs yet again. Silver jumped to a record high, surpassing a peak set during a historic squeeze in the London market in October. The white metal has been supported by rising hopes of a Federal Reserve interest rate cut in December, inflows into bullion-backed exchange-traded funds, and ongoing supply tightness. Gold futures also advanced after trading was halted by the outage at CME Group. The yellow metal, a non-yielding asset, tends to perform better in lower rate environments. It was last at 4,256.4. Crude futures fell marginally on Friday as investors considered oil's geopolitical risk premium amid drawn-out Russia-Ukraine peace talks, while keeping an eye on Sunday's OPEC Plus meeting for clues about potential output changes. US West Texas Intermediate crude futures resumed trading after being frozen due to a system outage at CME Group. Brent trades on the Intercontinent Exchange, or ICE. Brent crude futures settled at $60.32, and WTI crude settled at $58.48 a barrel, down 0.17%. Despite being up around 1% for the week, both contracts settled down for the fourth straight month, their longest losing streak since 2023, as expectations for higher global supply weighed on prices. US oil production rose to record highs in September, according to data from the Energy Information Administration. release on Friday, deepening concerns that the market is heading towards a surplus. Futures have also been anticipating some sort of a Ukraine peace agreement, which has kept pressure on prices. On Sunday, OPEC Plus would likely leave oil output levels unchanged at its meetings. US bond markets were a little higher on Friday, with the 10-year at 4.024% and the 2-year at 3.497%. The DXY was at 99.48. European stocks closed higher on Friday as investors assess whether the US Federal Reserve will roll out another interest rate reduction in December. The pan-European stock 600 index edged 0.25% higher to 576.42. Elsewhere, the DAX in Germany, the CAC 40 in France, and the FTSE in the UK all rose around 0.3% on Friday. By the way, the stock 600's increase in November has secured the average's longest monthly winning streak since March 2024. The broader bank index was steady for the day, but having risen 4.5% across the week, supported in part by the UK budget, which spared the sector from tax rises. The sector was also the top performer for the month, up over 4%, its fifth straight monthly rise, as investors shifted amid concerns over valuations that drove a global tech sell-off this month. The basic resources sector gained up 1.2% on Friday, powered by copper prices touching a record high. The sector was the top performer for the week, climbing 5.7%. Among individual stocks, Delivery Hero jumped 14.6% after reports said investors were pushing management to consider a sale of all or part of the business. The Italian luxury group Ferragamo gained as much as 2.3% after JP Morgan upgraded it to neutral, citing improved brand momentum. Hotel operator Whitbread dropped 11.4% after saying that the British budget measures would cost it somewhere between £40 and £50 million in its next fiscal year, as a sharp increase in business rates threatened to squeeze its margins. The British pound compared to the US dollar remained at 1.3232. Moody's rating agency said that the tax increases in Britain's budget this week demonstrated the government's commitment to debt reduction, though execution risks to achieving this goal remains high. While the government's willingness to bring public finances back in line with its targets is positive, execution risks remain high, Moody's stated in its assessment of Wednesday's UK budget announcement. But in an ongoing schmozzle, where the Independent Budget Office leaked their budget analysis before the Chancellor gave her speech, it also appears things are not as bad as she had rolled the pitch for, despite significant tax hikes to support higher spending, taking total tax takes to about 38% of GDP. Total government debt continues to rise, while productivity still languishes. There's nothing strategic here, in my view. This was just another tactical budget, so I give them very low marks for that. UK car production fell 23.8% in October compared to the same month last year, with 59,010 vehicles manufactured, according to industry data released on Friday. The sharp decline was mainly due to the ongoing efforts of a major cyber attack at Jaguar Land Rover, the UK's largest automaker. In other economic news, Bank of England policymaker Megan Green said the energy bill reduction announced in the UK budget, where they're taking out some policy costs from bills, is expected to have only a temporary effect on inflation. Green expressed doubt about the policy's ability to influence longer-term inflation expectations, stating if it affects inflation expectations, if it brings them down, that would be great, but I'm not convinced that it will do that. Meanwhile, UK home sales fell 4% over the 4 weeks to November the 23rd, as buyers stayed away due to fears of higher property taxes in the upcoming budget, according to real estate agency Zopla. Buyer demand dropped 12% compared to the same period last year, the agency reported on Friday. Average house prices across the UK rose 1.3% year on year to £270,200. Prices in London and the South declined for the first time in 18 months, which Zopla attributed to budget uncertainty and an increased number of homes for sale, giving buyers more option. Asian stocks retreated on Friday as a rebound in technology shares lost steam, while Chinese markets were pressurized by renewed concerns over a property market meltdown in the country. Japanese shares moved in a flat to low range as a swathe of data showed unexpected resilience in the economy, driving up expectations for an interest rate hike by the Bank of Japan. China's mainland Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell around 0.3% each, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng lost 0.1%. Chinese markets were pressurized by continued losses in property shares, with China Vanke falling an additional 1.5% in Shenzhen trade as investors dumped the company's bonds en masse. Reports this week said the company was seeking to restructure some of its debt obligations, sparking concerns that Vanke will be the next domino to fall in China's already beleaguered estate sector. A default by the state-backed Vanke could eclipse earlier defaults seen in private majors such as Evergrande and Country Garden. More disruptions in the property market also stand to weigh on economic growth, given the sector's large contribution to the Chinese economy. Mainland Chinese indices were trading down between 2 and 3% in November, while the Hang Seng was flat. Japan's Nikkei 225 index fell 0.2%, while the TOPEX was flat as investors digested a string of key economic indicators for October and November. Tokyo CPI inflation, which acts as a bellwether for national inflation, read steady for November, while core inflation also remained above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. Separate data showed Japanese industrial production unexpectedly rose in October, while retail sales grew more than expected. But Japan's unemployment rate remained unexpectedly steady in October, while job applications weakened. Still, the host of positive economic readings drummed up bets that the Bank of Japan will have enough headroom to raise interest rates soon. The Bank of Japan signaled this week that policymakers will consider raising rates during December's meeting. But the central bank is expected to face resistance from the new government, which has largely called for looser financial conditions. A bitter diplomatic row between China and Japan also continues to weigh on local stocks. The Nikkei 225 was down 4.5% in November and was the worst performer in Asia, hurt chiefly by a wipeout in tech valuations. Broader Asian stocks moved in a flat to low range on Friday as well and were nursing a mostly negative performance for November. South Korea's KOSPI fell nearly 1% as a rebound in tech slowed. The index was down nearly 4% in November. The India Nifty 50 index was flat on Friday, but trading up 1.9% in November, aided by a relatively small exposure to tech, while record low inflation readings drummed up bets of more interest rate cuts by the Reserve Bank of India. Australian share market snapped a four-week losing streak as it ended flat on Friday, with rising global optimism on the expectation that the US Federal Reserve will cut interest rates next month. The S&P ASX 200 index stumbled at the close to dip 3.2 points to 8,614.1, taking the total gain for the week to 2.3%. But it was not enough. The index fell 3% in November. That's the worst month on equities since March. Moomoo market strategist Michael McCarthy said November started ugly with concerns over inflation and slowing growth in the US, but a phalanx of Fed representatives talking potential relief over the past week has turned the tide for equities, with a near 90% chance of a rate cut now priced in. Gains this week reflect the shift in market thinking, but this is cold comfort to Australian shareholders, as even if the Fed drops rates next week, the upward trend in Australian inflation means there is little hope the RBA will follow suit. On the ASX, technology paced the index upwards. Wise Tech Global soared 4.7% to $73.02. Live360 was up 2.6% to $40.43. And Technology One up 0.6% to $30.85. Consumer staples were strong as Woolworths jumped 3.2% to $29.32. After JP Morgan upgraded the supermarket stock from neutral to overweight. Financials weighed as Commonwealth Bank, National Australia Bank and ANZ all lost about 1%. Suncorp fell 3.6% to $70.56 as UBS cut its share price target, as it warned the insurer faced a major hit to earnings following a spike in natural hazard claims. And in company news, Westpac slipped 0.8% to $37.59 after its New Zealand arm was fined $3.64 million for breaching lender responsibility rules with failures that led customers without legally required loan information and in some cases agreed interest rate discounts. Monash IVF was flat at 85 cents after the Victorian government imposed certain conditions on the registration of its clinics in that state following an embryo mix-up disclosed in June. QBE fell 2.2% to $4.86 as Morningstar said in the note that Macquarie's $11.6 billion bid for QBE underscores the rapid decline of listed infrastructure on the ASX, reducing opportunities for individual investors. The Aussie was at 65.49 US cents and 49.47 UK pence. The two-year bond was at 3.819, while the 10-year was at 4.530, cemented higher by the strong CPI data this week. You can forget rate cuts for now. Australia's third quarter GDP will be released on Wednesday. NAB said, on the back of stronger investment partials, we have revised up our third quarter GDP forecast to 0.7% quarter over quarter and 2.2% year over year. It was previously 0.5% and 1.9% over the year. That's around trend growth and is above the RBA's November statement of monetary policy forecast, they said. The October trade balance is scheduled for Thursday, and across the ditch, Dr. Anna Bremen begins her term as governor of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand on Monday. In crypto, Bitcoin reclaimed some ground this week, last at $90,713, once again underscoring its volatility, having dropped 36% from its peak. Bitcoin's sharp retreat to the 80,000 level triggered a wave of panic on social media. The tone of posts on X and Reddit shifted away from the 150,000 to 200,000 price target frequently mentioned in previous weeks and turned towards the question, is a bear market coming? Fear and risk appetite indices dipped into the 20s, further highlighting the extent of sentiment deterioration. Sentiment data showed that this bearish period produced one of the most negative sentiment spikes in the last 6 months. According to the on-chain data provider, the ratio of positive and negative comments has fallen to levels similar to previous lows. While some analysts interpret this extreme fear as a phase of emotional market cleansing, which is common historically, some long-term investors argue that this sharp decline could be the last major opportunity. But some argue for a track back towards 100,000 US as oversold conditions and seasonal trends turn more supportive. As the average seasonal pattern shows, the cryptocurrency tends to bottom around November the 26th and gain momentum throughout the year end. But a week of increased volatility was observed on the institutional front. According to CoinShares data, there were $1.94 billion worth in outflows from crypto investment products last week alone, $1.27 billion of which came from Bitcoin funds. Daily outflow of $523 million from BlackRock IBIT ETF clearly demonstrates institutional investors' reflex to reduce risk during downturns. However, in the second half of the week, the picture did reverse and spot Bitcoin ETFs saw inflows of $238 million in a single day. The new $108 million investment in Fidelity's ETF indicated that institutional interest does remain alive even during a correction. Meanwhile, Strategy made an aggressive move at the bottom by purchasing another 8,178 bitcoins. While this suggests that some major players are using volatile periods as opportunities to accumulate, on-chain data showed that long-term investor wallets sold in bulk during the same period highlights that markets remain undecided about short-term direction. The dissolution of around 800,000 bitcoins from long-term wallets in recent weeks is one of the clearest indicators of this contradictory structure. Strategy shares remain locked at around $177.18 compared to $450 plus back in August. And Ethereum was down 47% from its highs, was last at just over $3,000 US. Now ahead, there are still events which could move markets before the end of the year, the upcoming Fed meeting, and more news on Powell's successor among them. So the easing of the volatility index to around 16 might be a signal of a potential Santa rally, or it might just be noise. It's too soon to say. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.